Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This Phil Steele and Heisman Trophy edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bets today. We're also brought to you by IPVanish. IPVanish is the official VPN of SGPN, and they're offering 70% off if you go to ipvanish.com/SGP. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. Make sure to check out our new Discord server, the perfect place to interact and sweat bets with the entire SGPN crew. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord.
This is Mike Leach, head football coach at Mississippi State, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Fucking shine box.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Dog.
Oh, just the two of us over here getting ready for a college football spectacular.
College football spectacular.
How do we have time during 2 days?
I know.
For college football.
Joining us as always when we talk college football, Colby Dant, aka the Dantabase. What's up, Colby? Oh, he's got the Heisman pose.
You're coming right at the camera.
And look, I got to be honest, guys. When you first said, "Hey, check out Discord," I actually thought that was a sport. I thought it was like some sport that I had never heard of going on in like fucking the Netherlands or something. You know what I mean? Like,
Discord channel is fire, and we're gonna be doing a NFL futures Q&A with the listeners. What? So stay tuned. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, and we are almost up to our 420th member. So
it's smoking my weed.
Not only the president, I'm also a member.
If whoever is the 420th member to join our Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, you will get a $42 gift card to the SGPN store, store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So again, if you're on the fence, hop in now. You might be that lucky winner.
I have a funny gift card story.
Sure.
You know how the like strange things cause people from your past to reach out to you to be like, "Oh wow, you guys are doing it. You're pursuing your dream of talking about gambling." Gift cards in the store. I got one of those. Wow. Really? That's some, you guys are really doing it.
Oh wow. They were blown away by the gift card in the store. Perfect.
I've made it. Come on, let's go.
And if you are a wife or a girlfriend, and your husband or boyfriend is forcing you to listen to this episode, perfect gift for that said, or if you're just a cool chick, obviously we got some chick gear in there. We got some kid gear. If you want to put your,
I appreciate in the Discord, someone reached out saying, "Hey, loving the team previews, Colby. My wife hates you something awful, but love the team previews."
Or maybe your wife hates Colby, but maybe you get her a sweet college football experience shirt. with the official with some team colors there, and then maybe that wins her over.
I certainly think if you're, you know, maybe he's hard to buy for because all he wants to do is gamble, and you can't get gift cards. Maybe not yet. Hey, if they're listening, that's a great idea. WinBet gift cards for the book.
Oh yeah, man! What an episode! We got our Heisman Trophy picks coming up, and then interview with the one and only Phil Steele. But hey, speaking of one and only, the one and only official sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You know it, you love it. WinBet. That's right. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. I mean, they got this sweet $50 bet. Win a $200 promotion in free bets, and the win out, where you get reduced juice on select games Thursday, 5 p.m. East. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. Reduced juice on the NFL opening kickoff. You know you're going to be betting on that. Why get it at a bad number? sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WINNBET. And end of July, no more chance to enter the ultimate fantasy football experience. So plenty of reasons to head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WINNBET. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, Heisman Trophy picks, and then the great Phil Steele. We did some dabbling early on in the process, but I think I got what I'm locked into here. Kramer, I'll let you kick things off. What are you? What's your first Heisman Trophy pick? I'm giving out two.
I was gonna say, how do you want to do this? Do you want to just rattle through the list from the bottom to the top?
Okay.
I feel like it won't take that long because most of these guys are lawn chair like trash people will whiz by. Or we can just give out some guys.
Yeah, let's just give out some guys.
All right. Well, I'll start with the guy that I think the price might have even gotten better, Hendon Hooker. I understand why this is a long shot.
Yeah.
Yet he's only 40-1, but I mean the numbers could be there. He is in the SEC East, Colby. I mean, you're going to tell me why there's no fucking chance they could do anything, make any real noise. And I think Sean and I agree. We snagged Alabama to win the SEC in the futures draft -125. And I think they're going to be, pretty big favorites in all their games. So yeah, coming back to it, Hendon Hooker, obviously the VT, the Hokie ties, but I mean, it's certainly he's going to put up the numbers, right?
Well, and he's had a big enough school. It's a
they have a huge alumni base. Like Tennessee is itching for something positive.
It's a fun narrative, right? I think there is a little bit of a narrative thing. Certainly, they do lean towards the bigger schools, the SEC schools. But I think you get he's having a great run. All of a sudden, Peyton Manning's at the game.
It's not only the SEC schools. I would say it's just any of the blue bloods. Like a perfect example. That's just mind numbing. If you dive into this, is Sean Clifford, who has had his struggles as Penn State's quarterback. Now, some of that's not his fault. He's had a lot of different coordinators. He has the same odds as Brandon Armstrong. So Sean Clifford threw for 21 touchdowns and had two rushing touchdowns a season ago, 3,100 yards. Brandon Armstrong missed two games or a game and 3/4. Threw for 4,500 yards, had 31 touchdowns, and had 9 rushing touchdowns. 40 touchdowns combined, and they're the same value.
I mean, couldn't Sean Clifford be this year's Kenny Pickett?
Sure, I'm just saying like that. Like clearly, they're giving value to Penn State and devaluing University of Virginia.
Were you getting excited about Kenny Pickett before last year?
I was because I thought Mark Whipple was a really good OC.
The system's better, like 6 year thing. Parallels. That feels strong.
I mean,
right?
Sam Hartman.
I'm not going to agree with a Virginia take.
Okay, well, so how about Sam Hartman then? Because he had 50 combined touchdowns, 10 more than Brandon Armstrong, and the love is not there.
Where's the number? What's the number on Hartman?
On Hartman, he is better than Brandon Armstrong, but not by much. He's at 600-1.
No, wait,
so, I'm sorry, 60 to 1. Yeah.
Oh, so that actually, so when I earlier in the process on April 6th, when we first discussed this, I gave out Hartman at 40-1. So you're telling me he's gone down to 60. Wow,
because he's at Wake Forest, man. And that's
number accumulating stats is part of the game. But I think, yeah, to your point, he's never going to win, right?
And my first one I'll toss out. And we get into this. Phil Steele has a bunch of good points in the interview. Dylan Gabriel at Oklahoma. And now I'm not super high on Oklahoma. Like I am on the under on the win total, but at 40-1 right now, Dylan Gabriel, like the formula is there. I mean, he
absolutely
still made some great points about the consistency as far as like the coaching, the type of scheme. He's shown that in like a, you know, UCF, their high powered offense, throwing the ball a ton. I mean, Big 12, very conducive to putting up some big passing numbers. It's a great story. And he's shown, you know, you look at some of his other years, like he's thrown for 30 plus passing touchdowns before. If he somehow gets like 40 passing touchdowns with Oklahoma, which is in the range of possibilities, 40-1, I think is really fun.
You got a 40-1. Nice.
You know, at 60-1, and I think they might be a big enough brand because we saw Lamar Jackson get it. Malik Cunningham at Louisville.
Yeah.
Kind of flying under
the
radar.
Shiny helmets.
He had 20 rushing touchdowns last year. Also had 19 throwing touchdowns to 6 picks. If he has an even better year, I could totally see him having a.
So what are you locking in on database?
Let's sprinkle a little bit on the Cunningham effect.
What do you see Malik Cunningham at?
60-1.
60-1.
Okay.
I still think your best play is Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young.
Really?
I think Alabama is loaded, and I think
so off that. What do you see in Bryce Young? It's like what, 3-1?
It's 3-1.
See,
yeah.
I think they're gonna be hesitant to give it to Bryce Young back to back years, but I think I saw this long shot. Jahmyr Gibbs 50-1, the Alabama running back. I think that is he put up pretty good numbers at Georgia Tech last year, if I'm correct. You know, Alabama obviously has an amazing offensive line. I think it's going to be tough to get it to Bryce Young back to back years. They're going to be looking for a different story. Gibbs is already projected as a you know, top two round NFL draft pick and the last running back to win the Heisman Trophy, Alabama. 2016, Derrick Henry.
He might be splitting some time though. I like the Will Anderson play actually. It's probably
on the defense.
Yeah,
makeup call for last year.
Yeah, he should have won last year.
That will be the
What's
problem.
What's Will Anderson's odds?
At 20-1, but that will be his biggest problem. Is he has if he's not better than last year, people will point to that, and then that might cause him to not win it. Unless it's a whole bunch of quarterbacks that no one really pokes their head up. Now another, and I'll nice transition to my next one, but Caleb Williams being 7-1 makes sense, right? Like quarterback factory, Lincoln Riley moving out to SC. But why is the crosstown rival? Why is our boy, Chip Kelly's boy, even though he didn't want him, but brought him back, Dorian Thompson Robinson, going off at 80-1?
Wow.
Well, especially I think with the hype of them going to the Big Ten.
Exactly. Yeah. They're big enough to have a enough of the narrative game. If he can again accumulate numbers in that Chip Kelly offense.
Yeah. And we didn't even get to it too much in the surprise teams, but UCLA, I think, is one of Phil Steele's surprise teams, has a number of metrics pointing up. I, you know, even when we did that UCLA and USC leaving episode, I do think I have UCLA getting there over and USC on the under. You know, so I think the case is there is really great. And, you know, Chip Kelly finally getting his system locked in. So I'm going to co-sign that one as my longest long shot. So Dorian Thompson Robinson, 80-1, Jahmyr Gibbs, 50-1, Dylan Gabriel, 40-1. Chop around for that one, but there are a couple of 40-1. So that's what my official portfolio is looking like. Anything else you got?
Wait.
In there,
so Cole? All right. Sorry. Say yours again. I want to make sure.
Dylan Gabriel.
Yep. We have him.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Gibbs. That's who I missed.
And then I'm co-signing your Dorian Thompson Robinson because okay. I want to be in on the Bruins.
I'll go. Scratch the Bryce Young.
Give it. Lock it down to 3, Colby.
That's too chalky. Let's go. Let's go. Anderson.
Okay,
you've been talking about Anderson a lot.
I'll go Anderson, Cunningham, and I got a real long shot. I'm trying to pull him up right now, odds wise.
Give me a name.
His name is Donovan Edwards. If he's
tell me the story.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not Donovan Edwards. It's Donovan Smith, the quarterback of Texas Tech. Now he is battling with Tyler Shuck right now, the Oregon transfer. But the reason why I'm high on this is they hired Zach Kittley as the OC.
Can you even bet this anywhere?
Yeah, I see Shuck is out there. Shuck is out there. But I don't know that who's winning the job. Something to monitor in the next couple weeks. But guess who? Zach Kittley was the OC when they had Bailey Zappe last year, who threw for like 65 touchdowns.
I see.
So I think they're going to be firing the laser all over the field. The question is it a big enough brand to win a Heisman? But I do expect video game like numbers out of the quarterback position at Texas Tech.
Should we at least bring up Bo Nix in Oregon?
I just think third coordinator in third year, in 3 years. I think it's just a tall order.
Hail State, Will Rogers, 70-1. Do we mention that air raid guy?
Potentially, I think the numbers might be there, but the question is will they give it to him just because he's in the air raid? I don't know.
Can I go dark horse?
Yeah,
Jerkovic.
Oh, I like that.
Boston College, I like that. 80-1. I mean, I guess it's not any deeper.
He's a baller, man. I Devin Leary getting a lot of the press and Van Dyke from Miami. I think Jerkovic healthy.
If he's healthy and he does his thing and he leads Boston College to a surprise season, it's going to be solely because this guy's a beast and everyone's going to be making the Big Ben comps and they're going to be. I mean, you want to talk about a dark horse to go first overall next year? It's this dude because he's going to measure well. He's big. He's strong. He's coming from the Northeast, which for some reason seems to boost the stock of guys sometimes.
Well, the Heisman's in New York City. Boom, right there.
So why don't we lock it down? I'll go Hooker 40-1, Thompson Robinson 80-1, and Jerkovic 80-1.
Can I throw out one more wild one? Deuce Vaughn at Kansas State.
Oh, yes.
Look, Deuce. Colin Klein's the new OC. I really think with Martinez and Vaughn, they're going to be a dynamic run game. And Deuce Vaughn, Patty C really disagreed with me here, but I said
5'6".
Yes, he's kind of got a little bit of. It sounds horrible to say. He's got a little bit of Barry Sanders to him.
Oh wow! Right?
And he
better have a lot of Barry Sanders if he's winning the Heisman Trophy at 5'6".
I'm just saying, watch out! That dude is electric, man. He is hard to tackle.
All right, Colby, I feel like you gave out 9 picks. What are your top 3 here?
Yeah, you know
we got him. I got him. Yeah,
add Vaughn to mine. Take,
no, he's got Anderson, Cunningham, and Vaughn.
Okay. There we go. Anderson, Cunningham, and Vaughn.
Can I give you one more quick fun one?
No.
Okay.
Sure. What do you got?
Marvin Harrison Jr. at Ohio State.
What is that one at?
150-1.
Okay.
120-1. I'm sorry.
All right.
No, Adrian Martinez was the guy. Cause what if? They run the shit out of him, Colby.
Yeah,
151 down there.
He can
Kansas
put some
State.
Monster yeah, numbers.
No,
up,
no fucking way. I'm betting that, but I did want to bring it up. All right.
So there are the Heisman Trophy picks, and we're gonna get to Phil Steele in just a second. Before we do that, shout out to IP Vanish. You want to make your internet security problems disappear? Got to go to IP Vanish. Again, you can use it for a streaming device like a Fire Stick. Unlimited devices, doesn't slow down your streaming. And again, internet security, passwords, browsing history, hint, hint. So many things you can keep locked up, safe and secure. And IP Vanish does it all. It's the official VPN of SGPN and the one we know, we use, we trust it. IPvanish.com/SGP gets you 70% off. That's right, 70% off and a free 30-day money back guarantee. All you got to do is go to ipvanish.com/SGP. And of course, our buddy Dave. That's right. We've all been in a spot where we could use a couple extra bucks here or there. And you don't want to have to ask your friends for help, your parents. That's always kind of embarrassing. But that's why you got your good buddy Dave. Dave is a banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. More money to fill your tank, get a wedding gift, catch up on your bills, buy some stuff at the SGPN merch store. You can finally tackle those expenses that have been stressing you out. Again, this is great. No interest, no credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief they need with extra cash. So if you're in a pinch and need some extra help, download Dave and think of it as a helping hand from future you. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve, member FDIC. Joining us on the line, the one and only college football guru himself, Phil Steele. Phil, appreciate you calling in the show, man.
Hey, a real pleasure. How is everybody doing over there today?
Doing great. I mean, Colby over here, he's previewing every all 131 college football teams, so he's knee deep in it. We're just counting down the days till kickoff. Got to start a big picture here. You know, we saw tons of realignment when it came to players and all these NIL deals, the transfer portals. But what are your thoughts on the, it feels like we're going to see two super conferences, USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten. It just feels like the first domino, but what are your thoughts overall on conference realignment?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I was asked that question 2 years ago, I said, we're headed towards 5-16 team super conferences. If I was asked that question last year, I'd say, hey, the Big 12 is about to go by the wayside without Oklahoma and Texas. And now the Big 12 looks to be in good shape. But once again, if you ask me this year, it does look like we're headed to two or three super conferences, each with 20 plus teams. But the one thing certain about college football, and I just went back and looked it up. The first year of my magazine was 1995. There was this conference called the Southwest Conference with Texas A&M, and they disbanded. Half of them went to the Big 12, half to the SEC. And you thought at that time, wow, what a major shakeup in college football. But the one thing that's remained consistent in the 28 years of the magazine is there's change in college football.
Yeah, no, and I'm just imagining a young Colby if he was hosting a podcast. You can't destroy the Southwest Conference. It'll kill the game. And somehow it survived. You talk about change. Bunch of first year head coaches at big programs. Lincoln Riley at USC. Brian Kelly in his new accent down in LSU. Brent Venerables over at Oklahoma. Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. I mean, if you had to put your money on one of those coaches programs getting into the playoff year one, which would you go? I mean, maybe Riley's the favorite, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, my favorite would actually be Brett Venables of Oklahoma. And it's not necessarily what he's inheriting. He only has five starters back on offense, five on defense this year. But the one thing we saw in college football last year was, you know, I talked to, like this year, for example, I talked to 120 of the 131 head coaches. And last year when I talked to the head coaches, almost every one of them, 90% of them said, Phil, this is the deepest team I have ever had. We were able to go three deep in the spring. I had to readjust my experience chart in the magazine because every team had 17, 18, 19, 20 returning starters coming back. The only ones that didn't were the powers because they lost players to the NFL. And look what happened. Clemson did not even get to the ACC title game. That shocked a lot of folks. Ohio State did not get to the Big Ten title game. Oklahoma did not get to the Big 12 title game. And even Alabama, they lost to Texas A&M, got outgained by Florida, barely got past LSU, should have lost to Auburn, or they wouldn't have been in the playoff last year. Well, I think this year we see a return to form because everybody's lost players. And when I look at Oklahoma, last year their two losses came to Baylor and Oklahoma State, and both were on the road. Now, Baylor had practically their entire team back last year. Oklahoma State had their entire defense back last year, most of its offense. And Oklahoma had lost some to the thing and then lost two road games. Well, this year they've got five starters back on offense and five on defense, but they had in a transfer quarterback in Dylan Gabriel from UCF. Now, in 2019, Dylan Gabriel had a phenomenal year. UCF was among the nation's leader in points scored, and his offensive coordinator was Jeff Lebby. Well, guess who his offensive coordinator is here at Oklahoma? It's Jeff Lebby. They've got one of my best offensive lines in the country. Venables knows defense, and then the schedule sets up really well for Oklahoma. Their two toughest games, Baylor and Oklahoma State, are both at home. And the last three non-COVID years, they are 20-0 at home. So add it all up. I've got Oklahoma favored in all their games this year. I think they have an excellent shot at actually getting to the playoff.
Are you at all worried? For me, I had a philosophy of bet the teams that are leaving the conference on the under. You know, like Texas and Oklahoma
last year.
Yeah. and I think with USC and UCLA this year, all of a sudden a game to Corvallis, that's probably going to be the last time they go to Corvallis or they go, you know, UCLA going to wherever. Are you at all concerned win totals wise, you know, with Oklahoma, with Texas, with UCLA and USC, all these teams are going to get the best punch from all these small town schools.
Well, I think Oklahoma and Texas got their best punch last year from those schools because it was a first year round. It was really fresh. Now this year, when they play Baylor and Oklahoma State, you got a feeling Oklahoma would be playing with a little bit of revenge, plus new head coach in town. So I think it's a little bit more accepted. I do think USC and UCLA, that would be a concern for me. I do think USC and UCLA should have good years, but yeah, those road trips do concern me a little bit.
I mean, just listening to Phil talk about this Oklahoma Sooners team, it's almost like he was listening to our show when I was discussing that Oklahoma is a rare team priced at 40-1 to win the national championship with real access to the playoff. And as a smarter man than me just highlighted a real case to being a team that's going to get back to form this year.
Are you at all concerned the Nebraska? So I was high on Nebraska last year. I looked like a fool. They ended up going 3-9. They lose every game by, I think, 9 points or less. Are you at all concerned about Oklahoma playing in Lincoln, Nebraska? I know they got Mark Whipple, the new OC. What do you make of the Cornhuskers this year?
Yeah, I've only got Oklahoma a 3-point favorite in that game. So it is a concern. When you look at Nebraska, they were a team that was much better than its final record would indicate. In fact, last year, Nebraska was plus 56 yards per game in Big Ten play. Now, generally, if you play a 9-game schedule and you're plus 56 yards, you go 6-3, 7-2, maybe even 8-1. And what did Nebraska do in the Big Ten last year? They went 1-8. And as you pointed out, they lost a lot of close games. In fact, they are the poster child for one of the articles in my magazine, which is called Close Wins, Close Losses. And basically it says that if you had a lot of close losses the previous year, you were better than your record. And generally things turn around the next year and you have a much better record. And the chart really only goes up to maybe 5 close loss, net close losses, maybe 6. And Nebraska had 7 last year. And what I mean by throwing in the word net there is you take the close wins and then you subtract off the close losses. And in Nebraska's case, they didn't have any close wins. They won their games by 45, 25, and 49 points. All their losses were on the close side. So I think they are a dangerous team. Now, it's early in the year. Mark Whipple is the new offensive coordinator, and that's a big change. I know talking to Coach Narduzzi like I do every year, Mark Whipple likes to throw the football, and this is a big change for Nebraska. So I wonder how quickly the offense will acclimate to the new schemes that they have. They have talent. They've proven they can play with the big boys. I think Oklahoma gets a real test, much like they did last year when they played Nebraska. But I think Oklahoma can survive that in a close one.
I got to ask, because it sounds, I mean, honestly, for us, I think some of the added value in your magazine is the access you have to all these coaches. You mentioned you talked to 120 of them. I got to ask, what's up with the 11 who didn't want to talk to you?
You know, sometimes we run out of time scheduling things. And, you know, we get to the last 2 weeks of the magazine and the coach contacts us and says, you know, I could do Wednesday at this time. It's like, nope, can't do that. I've got 3 coaches scheduled that day. How about Friday at noon? Nope, can't do that. And then we can't get it scheduled in. Here's one of the coaches I didn't talk to this year, Timmy Chang of Hawaii. So, you know, it does vary as to the different coaches, but eventually I'll get to talk to them all.
So then I guess selfishly, and sorry for hijacking this portion, I'm a Virginia Tech fan. Everyone seems very excited about Coach Pry. I have to imagine he's one of the coaches that made himself accessible to you. How was the conversation with Brent?
It was great. And I love the fact that he loves Bud Foster's defense, wants Bud Foster's defense there. We know how good Bud Foster's defense was, and we know how the defense has struggled the last 2 years. I expect a return to form on the defensive side of the ball. They've got 7 starters back. He goes to Bud Foster's offense all the time. They talk to Bud Foster, and I'm a huge Bud Foster fan to begin with. I think they have a lot of talent on the defense side of the ball. They need good quarterback play. Grant Wells, I'm not a huge fan of for Marshall, but he's a very capable quarterback. Same thing with Jason Brown from South Carolina. And with the other parts they have around, if they get the return to the home field edge, which I really think is a priority for Coach Pry, then they get a lot of those key games at home. I think they turn it around. I've got them picked higher than most in the Coastal at 4th. I think they're picked, I believe they were picked 5th or 6th in the Coastal this year. But I think Virginia Tech has a better than expected year.
Hokies do better when there are no expectations coming with it.
Yes.
And folks out there, if you haven't picked up a Phil Steele magazine. Look, drop Colby's the other ones. It's already the greatest thing you can get when it comes to college football, and it's been that way for 30
Let's
years.
Let's pull back the curtain.
It's the only thing I've seen Colby read.
Well, I mean, we have to be complimentary to Phil here, because Colby was setting off to start previewing his 130 team previews one by one. And we didn't have the he didn't have the magazine yet. And he's like, guys, no, I can't do this. I need the damn magazine.
So you're trying to give me, they supplied me with a couple magazines early on. And I go, no. This is nonsense here. Give me Phil Steele.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, appreciate you coming on. And of course, go to philsteele.com or wherever great magazines are sold. You know, friend of the program, Mike Leach, we had him on earlier on the show. One, I'd love to know, did you talk to Mike Leach? And then two, what do you make of Mississippi State year three in Starkville? Do you think this could be a breakout year for Mississippi State?
Yeah, I do get to talk to Coach Leach every year. The conversations are usually interesting. He's usually in Florida.
We have that same experience, yes.
Yeah, and I think the one call was a two-hour call as he walked along the beach, and you know, people coming up saying, "Hey, Coach, how you doing?" You have to pause and wait. And yeah, he's a very interesting person to talk to, and I really like the job he's doing here at Mississippi State. And this is his best team in his 3 years. He's got 17 returning starters coming back. Will Rogers is a guy that the emphasis is going to be getting him to throw the football down the field more. He's been a very good at taking his checks and hitting, 73% of his passes. But I think you're going to see more downfield throws this year. They've got two really good running backs in Dylan Johnson and Jaquavius Marks. And if you look at just the rushing yards, you might not think much of them. But keep in mind, Mississippi State's run game, or Mike Leach's run game, is a lot of short passes to the running back. So you have to factor in the pass receiving yards and the running backs along with the running back yards to really get the true thing of their effect. Defensively, they are loaded. They've got practically everybody back from last year. The one thing I don't like about Mississippi State this year is the schedule. When you look at the schedule, they have to play LSU on the road.
Yeah.
They play Texas A&M at home, at Kentucky, at Alabama. They get Georgia at home and at Ole Miss. They very well could be an underdog in seven games this year. Now, I don't think they're going to lose seven games, but I think they have the toughest schedule of any of the, besides Vanderbilt, but maybe even tougher than Vanderbilt. I've got the second toughest schedule in the country next to Auburn this year.
If they had a kicker last year, they would have probably won 10 games.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then he went out and brought in Biscardi from Coastal Carolina. He brought in Ben Rayburn from Northern Colorado. Believe me, kicker bothered him a little bit.
Oh yeah, you can imagine. One of your and I'm always excited to look at your surprise teams list. And you know, a lot of times it correlates with like teams who had a bunch of net close losses. But the one team that jumped out at me that I feel like is getting a little bit of buzz. What's your take on the NC State Wolfpack this year and their chances to be a surprise team?
Yeah, it's a talented squad. You look at them defensively. I mean, remember last year, Peyton Wilson got injured early, and you're like, oh boy, there goes the North Carolina State defense. And Isaiah Moore steps in, does a tremendous job in his place, just as good a job. Well, now they've got both Wilson and Moore and Drake Thomas and all back at linebacker. They have my number two linebacker unit in the country. DBs, I rate them number three in the country. Heck, they were number four in my pass efficiency defense last year. They've got 10 starters back on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, you'd like to have a veteran quarterback. Well, they got one. Devin Leary's back, and they've got dangerous receivers in Thayer Thomas and Devin Carter and a veteran offensive line. So it's a very good NC State team. Now, earlier on, I talked about how some teams are very experienced heading into last year. NC State was one of those. They had 19 returning starters. They took on an inexperienced Clemson at home. They won that game in two overtimes. Well, this year, they're on par with Clemson in terms of experience. Clemson's got 15 returning starters. They've got 17. Clemson's at home in Death Valley. I think that's going to be a tough win for them. To win the ACC, they'd have to beat Clemson on the road. I think that's going to be tough. The Louisville game on the road is going to be tough, but I can definitely see them getting the double-digit wins. I believe they're over-under win totals 8.5. And if they get past Clemson somehow early, and they'll have confidence after beating them last year, then they are a threat to win the ACC.
Phil, I think Sean's trying to get me riled up over here because I'm an East Carolina guy. He mentions NC State. I say 10-point dog week one in Greenville. Give me the Pirates. Talk to me about that game. What do you think about ECU and the AAC this year?
you know, I put out a weekly newsletter called Inside the Press Box, and I got on the East Carolina bandwagon early last year. It happened when they upset Marshall. And then the next time they they upset Marshall, and then they beat Tulane and covered for me. The UCF game, they probably should have won.
Should have beat South Carolina.
South Carolina got the field goal on the last play. The Houston game, I thought they outplayed Houston. They lost that thing in overtime, but guess what? They covered. UCF, USF, they played them at home. They covered. Temple at home, they covered. The Memphis game on the road, they pulled the outright upset and covered. And then they lost by a half point against Navy, but they gave me a nice 7-game win streak for my best bet. So I'm a huge East Carolina fan, and Mike Houston's doing a great job building that program. He's got 8 starters back on defense, and I still remember my first phone call with Coach Houston. He actually told me at the time, and I guess it's okay to say now, he had said that his James Madison defense was superior to what he had at East Carolina. I didn't want to put that in print that year. There's a lot of things that the coaches tell me I can't put in print, but it was true. And they had a small, speedy defense, and he wanted big guys up front. It's taken him 4 years to get bigger up front. They are bigger. They've got a quarterback in Holton Ayers who's experienced. They've got 2 dynamic running backs in Keaton Mitchell and Rajay Harris, and the offensive line looks solid. I think they're a legitimate contender in the American Conference. And my number on the NC State game, I only had NC State a 3-point favorite in that game. So I think East Carolina at home, fired up for their state rival, will give NC State a great game in the opener. I was a little surprised to see double digits.
Yeah.
It's a classic case of not only is it little brother facing big brother, but it's a program that has, would you say, a track record of choking in the big moment?
Yes. They've only won once in Greenville ever. So I'm telling you, place your bets now,
money
people.
Money line dog. Let's go.
Phil, Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban went at it this offseason, as I'm sure you know. And October 8th, they meet in Tuscaloosa. Who you going with?
Well, I've got the Tide favorite as double digits in every game. Personally, I think the current line on that one, Alabama's a 16-point favorite. I don't know if I'd lay that much because when I look at the two rosters side by side, the talent's pretty close. I mean, Jimbo Fisher didn't just have the best recruiting class this year. He's had 5 great recruiting classes. Going over the team with Coach Fisher, you get to the third string, and they're what I call VHTs. They're very highly touted players. So they are extremely talented. Now, the one thing A&M is lacking is experience. I talked about last year, nobody was experienced among the big boys. Alabama's number 52 on my experience chart, which is high for them with the amount of players they lose to the NFL. A&M comes in number 124 in my experience chart. So they've got a lot of things lost from last year, especially along the defensive line. But all 8 units rank in my top units. And I think as we finished each position this year with Coach Fisher, he would say, well, we're going to be good this year. We're going to be great next year. I'm really chomping at the bit to talk about Texas A&M next year, but playing at Alabama. And check this out. The 3 games prior to Alabama are Miami of Florida. Then they have to travel to Arlington and play Arkansas. Then they have to travel and face Mississippi State on the road. Then a 3rd straight road game at Alabama makes it a pretty tough circumstance. But I think A&M's got the talent to hang with Bama. They'll have 5 games under their belts, so they won't be as inexperienced as you perceive. I think it's going to be close to the spread. I like Bama by 2 touchdowns.
Now, if they meet in the octagon, who you taking?
I tell you what, those 2 coaches, I like what they did at the SEC media days. And they used to, like Coach Fisher said, they got into some heated arguments when Fisher was an assistant at Alabama. And I think those 2, there's a mutual respect there.
You talk about turnover. Obviously, Michigan made it to the playoff last year. They lost both coordinators, lost a lot of their defense. Pretty tough schedule. Where do you think Michigan ends up in the Big Ten? Do they have a shot of returning to the playoffs?
If they upset Ohio State on the road, I think they do. And let me run it through you. With Michigan, they lose a lot. They lose Hutchinson and Najabo, their 2 pass rushers, nose tackle Chris Hinton, linebacker John Ross, defensive back Daxton Hill, who was a first-round draft pick, Brad Hawkins, Vincent Gray, another couple guys from the secondary. They're not going to be as good defensively as last year. But last year, they only gave up 17 points per game. This year, they'll still be a top 25 defense. They've got my number one rated offensive line in college football. They've got my number one special teams in college football. They've got two really good quarterbacks in Cade McNamara and JJ McCarthy. And then you got to love their schedule. They only have three road games prior to playing Ohio State. They're at Iowa, at Indiana, and at Rutgers, currently in Vegas. Michigan's a 4-point favorite at Iowa. I think if they get past the Iowa on the road, and that's not going to be easy, they'll be 11-0 when they play Ohio State. But I've got Ohio State a 2-touchdown favorite in that game, playing with revenge at home, series history, and the fact that Ohio State's loaded this year, my number one offense, and a vastly improved defense. So I think Michigan's chances of being 11-0 when they play Ohio State are good. I don't know what their chances are of beating Ohio State.
Michigan was a bit of a surprise team to sneak into the college football playoff. Obviously, Cincinnati, a bit of a surprise, I guess, as well to some degree. What are teams that you think have an outside shot that might be a surprise team to get into the college football playoff this year?
Yeah, one of those teams would be Utah, who I don't think anybody's really talking about right now. And when you look at Utah, strong at the line of scrimmage, always under Coach Whittingham. That's something that happens every year. The back seven is solid on defense. They have a legitimate top 10 defense. Offensively, they opened up 1-2 last year, but then Cam Rising took over at QB. They were much different. As you saw in the Pac-12 title game, they beat Oregon 38-10. Very easily could have beaten Ohio State in the Rose Bowl game last year. They've got the bulk of the team back. They are up there on my experience chart as more experienced, 8 starters back on offense. And then when you look at their schedule, they could very well run the table. Now, I've got them in the top 6. I got them number 6 in the country. I think they'll be in the preseason top 10. So I wasn't able to put them on my surprise team list. But I think if Utah made the playoff, there'll be a lot of surprise people out there, especially with the lack of respect that the Pac-12 is getting. And then the other team to throw out at you would be the Pitt Panthers. And I know Pitt lost both Kenny Pickett and Addison at wide receiver. But I tell you what, Narduzzi does a phenomenal job every year developing the defense. Seems like every year they lose 2-3 starters on the D-line to the NFL, and they still are top-notch. Last year, they once again had 54 sacks. This year, they got the entire D-line back. They got my number 2 D-line in the country, loaded defensively, one of the top 10 defenses out there. Keaton Slovis comes in from USC. I think he's going to do a fine job at quarterback. The offensive line's better than it was last year. They'll be able to run the football better with Abanconda and Vincent Davis. And I think the receiving core is going to surprise you. If you're looking for a surprise fantasy football player, take Kenyatta Mumford, who comes over from Akron. I thought he did well with very limited supporting cast. Got a better supporting cast here. Add it all up, they probably have to beat Miami on the road in the season final to run the table and go undefeated. But last year on the ACC road, they went 4-0 and won their games by 23 points per game. So my two surprise teams would be Utah and Pitt.
I like it. I like it. Look, last year we end the show with, I asked you if my number one lock of Kansas over one win was doable. And you said, well, you're going to push. I think you could push. I don't know about the over. Over came true. We almost had it. We had Oklahoma on the ropes too.
Yes.
That this year, the win total's at 2.5. I'm going to lock it up again on the over. Am I crazy, Phil, for Leopold year two?
You are not crazy this year, my friend. I think when you take a look at Kansas last year, you know that Leopold came in after spring, basically. He was there for the spring game, and that was it. Had to learn the schemes, had to learn the players. They got past South Dakota, and then they're 1-8, and they're a 31-point dog to Texas, and that thought they controlled that game start to finish, come out of there with the win. Then they nearly knocked off TCU, nearly knocked off West Virginia. Going over the team with Coach Leopold, they are vastly improved in year two. You know they'll beat Tennessee Tech. They'll beat Duke. And then they just have to pull one upset during the year. Is it TCU at home? Possible. Iowa State at home is a possibility. Iowa State's always better as a dog than a favorite. And if you can knock off Texas as a 31-point dog and then nearly pull upsets as 3 touchdown dogs the next 2 weeks, I think they'd pull one upset and get you there. So I like them over the total for sure. And a player to watch is Jalen Daniels, who quarterbacked them the last 3 games, and now he's there the whole season.
Oh, you're speaking my language, Phil. You're speaking my language. I appreciate it. And yeah, Jayhawks over. Hammer that thing, guys.
2 years in a row. We go right to the Kansas well.
Going to the big programs. Well, Phil, appreciate you calling in. Obviously, everyone, go out and get the 2022 college football preview. You can get it over at philsteele.com. That's P-H-I-L Steele, STEELE.com. Phil, appreciate it as always, and best of luck with the season.
Hey, thanks. A lot of fun talking football with you guys today. And just one real quick note, Barnes & Noble is the best place out there if you're out looking for it, or philsteel.com. But hey, a lot of fun talking football. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it, Phil.
Take care.
Big thanks as always to Phil Steele. Make sure you head over to philsteel.com. Favorite part about the Phil Steele interview is the post game with Colby, where he's like, you know, Phil said this, but I think he's overlooking. Colby does like an instant analysis of the interview. That was a ton of fun, and Phil's great. Like, you can really just kind of bring up any topic, college football, and just he's immediately on top.
He's not
East Carolina is one of his favorite teams, guys. Won me over there.
That was funny too, when he's like, I don't think you're wrong about Kansas last year. And I would just want to interrupt and be like, well, we were right on Kansas last year on the over. So he doesn't think we're crazy, because we're not. Jayhawks, baby. Rock, chalk. Colby, how many teams have you previewed so far, and how many do you have left to go on the college
football experience? I'm in the 40s left, I think.
Wow.
As far as, well, at least as recorded. I've recorded some forward. So only I'm in the high 40s for.
You've already gone to the future?
Yeah, I'm in the future, man. So. yeah. And then, you know, we might have some 2.0s. I'm trying to find a way.
FCS teams?
I can't find a win total right now, but I want to be able to cover North Dakota State, South Dakota State, Montana State, Jackson State.
FCS programs?
Well, there's no win totals. I'm hoping that they would at least drop them for them.
Can we lock in a SoCon preview?
Hell yeah.
Right. And by the
Is
way,
that for Jong? Is that for Jong?
I think it's for Jong. Yeah. It's for me. It's for all the Kramer gang. Look, I think it's you know, second year in a row now. Phil Steele's here heard a different Colby got the wrong mag story.
It's true.
Yes, we did realize we told that twice. But Phil,
no, it was a different story.
It was a different
same premise, different story.
Brand loyalty. Phil Steele and the Dantabase.
And Sean, if you're keeping track at home, the list of people who are madly in love with Coach Pry.
Continues to grow. Yeah, that was the other.
Please pull the video. That was the Sean reacting to me asking that question. Yeah,
Ryan's like, so Phil, just I know you talked to a lot of coaches. One of them had to be Coach Pry. Now, was he? He was probably like moving some heavy things. Yeah. Like during the interview,
did he mention what he had for lunch?
Can you talk about the heavy things? Did he mention how much protein he had that day? Because I want to know that. Okay, you like Coach Pry too. Okay, yeah. Sweet.
Are you saying it was a leading question?
you didn't. I mean, what's he gonna say? Oh, Coach Pry, that guy's a huge loser. Gonna get his ass kicked by Coach Pry if he says that.
Yeah, he likes Bud Foster too. Friend of the program.
Yes,
we got a ton of friends of the program, and
it's
our friends,
content, Sean.
Our friends, you, the audience, toss us a bone. Give us a nice rating on Apple Podcasts. Take a screenshot of you writing the review. And then open up your SGPN app, click contest, submit it. Very easy. And you got an awesome chance to win free gear every Monday, AKA Merch Monday. Maybe I'll throw a hat in there, a coffee mug. We got a ton of stuff over at store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Sean, make sure you follow me at Kramer Centric.
Kramer, let it ride.